Hi, I'm Heather Mulder.
And I'm Janice Greeno, and you're listening to Dementia Untangled, where we explore the topic of dementia through conversations with physicians, experts, and community leaders.
Our discussions focus on innovative ideas, practical strategies, and proven methods to guide caregivers along a supportive path.
Hello, and welcome to Dementia Untangled. We are so happy you have joined us.
Today, our conversation will be with a fan favorite. We are celebrating our fifth season of Dementia Untangled. We're going to be talking about some of our favorite moments. And today, we've invited back our editor and producer to join our conversation. Welcome back, Amber.
Thanks for inviting me back. I mean, can you believe this is our fifth revisited episode?
I cannot believe it. And thank you for all you do behind the scenes, editing and listening to the recordings over and over to get them just right for our listeners.
Oh, it's an honor. I feel really lucky to be able to work on such a fun, innovative, and inspiring project for our families and the dementia community. I mean, the joke is, if you didn't have a baby, adopt a pet, or start a podcast during the pandemic, what were you doing with your time?
You are so funny.
So lucky for you all, we started this podcast and I got a new pet. So two out of three ain't bad.
Two out of three ain't bad. Oh, you can tell to our listeners, Amber keeps us laughing and we're grateful for that. And I'm grateful that out of something like the pandemic, something that was so devastated, something beautiful has blossomed. And listening to the podcast episodes this season, you might have picked up on a theme that started to emerge. And that theme was hope. Hope for a future without Alzheimer's and other related dementias, hope to be traveling again after the pandemic, and hope to gather and sing together.
You know, I think hope is just such an essential ingredient in what we do in our daily lives, for our work and in our personal lives. I mean, what would we have if we didn't have hope? And I think for something as difficult as the pandemic over the past couple of years, and something as challenging as Alzheimer's disease, if we're able to infuse that and even shine a light and spotlight all of these other amazing individuals who are bringing hope to this space, it's just such an honor.
It's really interesting that you mentioned this theme of hope, because I definitely picked up on that vibe too. I know there can be such a stigma around talking about dementia. Just that word dementia creates a little anxiety. I mean, you can see it on people's faces. It's scary. It's unknown, and it sometimes feels inevitable. We all know the biggest risk factor is age, and well, guess what none of us can avoid? Yeah, getting older. So I think this idea of hope is something we need to bring forward more, because as our guest shared, a diagnosis is not the end. Just like with other diseases, we get a diagnosis and we make a plan, like, okay, what's next?
I think it's interesting that you bring up the stigma around talking about dementia. It's often stemming from a place of fear. And I find a lot of times it's easier for people if it's something that you're scared of and you don't necessarily have to deal with it. It's easier to just kind of turn a blind eye to it. But it's when you or someone that you care about becomes personally affected by this disease that you can't hide from this anymore. And as you said, you get a diagnosis, you make a plan, and you continue to live your life and you continue to live it well. I mean, that really becomes the option. I think when you listen back on a lot of our previous guests, especially those currently living with dementia, it's like, that's the choice. I'm choosing to live well. I'm choosing to move forward in my life. And, you know, speaking of moving forward, another way that we can look at hope is the incredible research that's going on and getting involved and making a difference in that way. At our revisited episodes, we always like to talk through some of the highlights of the conversations that we've had over the past season. So let's start with you, Janice. What were some of your favorite moments?
It's always so great to reflect, but this is always such a hard question for me. That being said, I was particularly impacted by our conversation with Dr. Mike Malek Ahmadi in episode 41, who talked about the science of preventing Alzheimer's disease. And he said there is a lot to be excited about, both in terms of our ability to diagnose and identify Alzheimer's disease, but then also to have treatments that are actually attacking the disease itself. And that statement was so powerful. But when he said, in the near future, we're going to have the first survivor of Alzheimer's disease, I just wanted to stand up and cheer.
It was such an amazing conversation how he was able to break down the complicated science behind preventing Alzheimer's disease and talk about we need to be able to better diagnose. We need to better be able to treat. And absolutely, that moment when he talks about the first survivor, it reminds me of the Alzheimer's Association, their walk to end Alzheimer's. They do a really beautiful ceremony at each of their walks with this, they call it the Promise Garden. And they have different colored flowers that represent your relationship to the disease. And so I think maybe a blue flower if you have been diagnosed yourself. They have purple, orange, yellow flowers. And they do this really powerful ceremony highlighting how so many people are affected in different ways. And they, in the past couple of years now, have added a white flower. And they have one young person come and hold up their white flower, symbolizing the first survivor of Alzheimer's disease. And even telling that story, I'm getting goosebumps.
It just brings tears to my eyes, and I am looking forward to that day. And you mentioned the Alzheimer's Association. We had Edie Yao in episode 46, and she talked about the importance of being part of the solution by being involved in research, as well as the importance of looking through the cultural lens with our person-centered care.
I think talking with Mike and Edie and talking about research and opportunities really just kind of highlighted the fact that you don't have to be diagnosed with this disease to participate in research. And in fact, those are the kinds of people that aren't showing, cognitive decline, that should be involved in the research in order to prevent the disease. So, Heather, you mentioned it's hard not to find someone that hasn't been touched in some way by this disease. And being able to kind of take that, feel empowered, and be able to do something about it, and to be able to kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel with what Mike was talking about, just it, I don't know. I mean, if you're not involved, now is a great opportunity because the inspiration from his talk just really broke it down and made you feel, let's go back to it, so much hope.
It was so inspiring.
And talking to Edie too, I'm always really curious about the perspective of different cultures when it comes to mental health. And I think that's why I enjoy our cultural awareness episodes so much. Sometimes we get stuck in our bubble, and it's hard to think about how dementia, or really any topic, can be perceived and processed differently than the way we interpret it. I feel like these different viewpoints about health-related topics have really shown themselves over the past couple of years as we all go through this pandemic together.
I completely agree, Amber. I really look forward to these conversations focusing on diverse populations. I think there's a lot we can learn from them. As you said, we kind of get stuck in our bubble, in our perspective, and it's refreshing and even eye-opening to talk to someone who sees it differently through a different lens. And, I think about our longstanding work in the Native American community, how they just have a different view than I, as a white person, on aging and, such respect for their elders and, even health and their ability to, look at dementia differently and see it sometimes as like the circle of life happening. And so learning of these different perspectives, I think, is eye-opening and can kind of change and shape the way you view things.
Absolutely. And, Amber, you talked about the pandemic, and there are some things about it looking back. We do. We just we have to look at it through the lens of humor, or it's just so overwhelming. And one thing that I'm grateful for is after this sometimes heartbreaking time of separation in the pandemic, is being able to travel again. So in episode 49, Jan Doherty, she's a noted dementia care expert. She did a wonderful job sharing tips from her book, Travel Well with Dementia. And she shared helpful strategies for traveling well and how to assess the risks and benefits of whether or not someone with dementia should be traveling.
I think I really took the ability and privilege of travel for granted because when we were not able to go anywhere, it was really difficult for me. I like to plan a trip. I have something to look forward to. It gets you through a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, knowing that you have this adventure waiting for you in a couple of months or however long it is. And not being able to have that thing was very, very difficult. But in also considering someone with dementia traveling, it can be very stressful. There's a lot that goes into planning, executing. I say there's some people travel and some people vacation. Traveling can be very stressful. Vacation, is usually pretty chill. But the idea of trying to do that with a cognitive impairment, or even as a caregiver planning for that for your person, could be really challenging.
I love that you said some people travel and some people vacation. And I think sometimes traveling with someone with dementia, it's easy that the vacation can be kind of taken out of it if you haven't taken the time to plan ahead, right? We talk about pre-planning with everything related to this disease and travel, especially if you want to go on a vacation and visit new sites or have new adventures. Really taking the time to think about why am I doing this and what accommodations do I need to make? I think a couple of weeks ago, I took my first work trip of the past couple of years and went to speak at a conference in Pittsburgh. And on the way back, I saw this really touching interaction right across the aisle from me. There was an older woman who had, it looked like some sort of movement disorder. And a younger woman with her. And just the way the younger woman interacted with her, really, you could tell it was keeping the older woman calm and comfortable. She was anticipating her needs. And I just thought about what is the bigger picture that's happening in this interaction? Well, they probably picked a flight time in the middle of the day so that there wasn't a big rush to get ready and get to the airport. They, picked a nonstop flight, so there wasn't a layover. They had the escort service take them, from the through the entire airport and help them onto the plane. And that's just the little window of what happened in that airport to try to make that trip successful. So really, as you said, Janice, thinking through what are the risks and what are the benefits, there's so much that goes into that.
I love you sharing that story, though. And what a beautiful picture to have someone being cared for like that.
It was really touching to see.
Another thing Jan mentioned was she shared that research, and I love the research, that research shows that travel is good for our health And maybe for you, Amber, that's vacationing. And those benefits can linger for 3 months.
I think that's about how often I have to travel. Yeah, every 3 months.
Heather, what were some of your favorite moments this season?
You know, when we're reflecting on hope as kind of the overarching theme, and sometimes you can find a hope in unexpected places. And sometimes hope is found in the small things. And so one of my conversations, I don't know if it came across in the interview, but I know behind the scenes, Janice and Amber, you two were cracking up because I was like a fangirl with this person. I mean, some people get excited about talking to movie stars or music legends. I get excited about people who had a huge impact in Alzheimer's disease. And that was with Kathleen Buchwalter. And she talked about the progressively lowered stress threshold model. I mean, it's like Kathleen, Dr. Jerry Hall, and Pauline Boss. Like, I would be in heaven if I got to talk to the three of them. But what I love about PLST is it's just so simple. And for me, when I learned about it from Dr. Jerry Hall, it was the glue that just put everything together for me. And it made it just click. And I was like, oh, yes, now I understand why all of these different things. And so sometimes it is just that tiny nugget, but it's like you can take it and run with it.
We had a in-person class recently at our location in Tucson, and this was brought up, this PLST model. And the example used was, do you ever turn down the radio in the car so that you can see better? And I'm like, how do you know? How do you Right? And it was explained to me that, well, you're lowering your stress threshold because, you know, you may be trying to find a parking spot or locate an address or, you know, a child is screaming in the back seat and you just need to remove one of the items from the equation that's stressing you out. And it that little example really clicked for me. And I thought it sounds so easy, but I had no idea other people did this too.
And it's those small things like that. I think that it's so important that we share these small things, and what an opportunity that we got to share about PLST through the podcast with so many people. And I love it how if we share one small thing like this, sometimes it really can become a catalyst or a lifeline for someone else.
You know, it's so interesting that you mention the word catalyst, Janice. Another one of my favorite conversations, this is not going to be a surprise for anybody that's listening, is our conversation with Eileen Bratton in episode 42 when we talked about the Giving Voice initiative. And what I love about this program is it's all about yes. People think it's about the music. People think it's about singing and putting on performances, but I think the real magic behind this is there's no wrong in this room. I think she even used that exact phrase. There's no wrong in this room. People living with dementia, whether explicitly or implicitly, are told no constantly. And to come together in a room with other people in similar circumstances and just hear yes, it is amazing what can happen. Just take, for example, a couple months ago, I love sidebar. I love that we're talking about all of these sort of dabbles back to being in person and being together again. A couple of months ago, we were able to get together for 8 weeks for an 8-week series of a kind of based off of this Giving Voice sort of framework where we came together and we rehearsed and culminated in a public performance. And we're on a podcast, so it's kind of hard to explain. I wish I could lift up and show you a photo from our first rehearsal, but it's one of those photos where it's just the joy is jumping out of the picture. You can see purpose and meaning and hope, all because we came together and we said, yes, you can do this. You know, Janice, you were part of this. And that first rehearsal, we came together and we started saying, concert, concert. Everybody's kind of giving each other sideways glances, like, no. But, you know, a couple rehearsals into it and a couple weeks of yes, we all believed in it. And I think every single one of us at that concert stepped out of our comfort zone in some way or another. We had people singing solos who had never sung publicly before. You had me singing soprano.
Me too.
It was just such a positive experience. And I think with giving voice, of course, it's about music and it's about community and it's about singing together, but it's about so much more than that. And I think one main ingredient of it is yes. Yes, you can do this.
And if that isn't hopeful, I don't know what is.
I think it's such a natural tendency to err on the side of caution, where it's so much easier to say no quickly than to kind of evaluate a situation and think, well, how can we make it work? And we've been hearing no a lot lately. I hate to, go back to the pandemic, but again, we've been hearing no, you can't do this, you can't do that. I mean, even as a parent, no comes out of my mouth a lot. And to just be in such a positive environment where someone is encouraging you to be able to just do something you may not thought you'd be able to do, something you couldn't do before you had a diagnosis. And for just that bit of encouragement, that positivity, Janice, this is right up your alley here, being able to offer that to someone, it changes everything.
And you could see it on everyone's faces from the beginning of our choir practices when people had just come out of their homes and we used to sing on the computer and we could push the mute button and sing to our heart's desires, and nobody else heard us, to being in front of others and being vulnerable and then coming together, even with new songs that were complicated, and being able to perform them and turn them into something beautiful.
The concert was so amazing. You know, a room full of people who just, it was another room full of joy. It just, you know, we had this positive experience over 8 weeks with each other, and we're like, let's share it now. Everybody needs to feel what we feel.
Exactly. Well, Amber, you've shared some moments kind of throughout with us, but do you have any favorite moments that you want to share?
Yeah, I was so inspired by Catherine in episode 43, just talking about how much joy she and her wife have had on this dementia journey together. Yes, you heard her right, joy. And to listen to her stories and share in her experience as a caregiver for her wife who has dementia, it's uplifting. How reassuring is it to know that despite its challenges, that it's not all bad?
I think Catherine has such a great perspective on this because she's not focused on the loss. And I think if we're caring for someone with a disease, a lot of times we're focusing on what's changing, what's different than before, when really some of the changes can be easier, can be humorous, can be even positive. I think Catherine talked about how Bonnie used to be a perfectionist, but now she's forgotten. So that's making their day-to-day life a little bit easier now that Bonnie isn't hanging on all of the details of getting things done. And I think we've probably all heard stories from family members, you know, one husband who wasn't attentive or affectionate before now develops dementia and only has eyes for his wife. Taking the time to try to look at things differently, right? Change the way you see things. And how does that phrase go? Change the way you look at things, and the things you look at will change.
There you
Something
go.
along those lines. But it's all about perspective, I think, is what I took from Catherine.
And shifting that perspective in the midst of something that could be so difficult and finding joy.
Hope and joy, our theme for the
Well,
season for sure.
definitely. And as we get ready to wrap up our conversation today, take the word hope with you. Hope through research for ending Alzheimer's disease and other related dementias. Hope for living your best life in the midst of the dementia journey. Hope for finding joy and hope for a brighter future for us all.
And we love hearing from our listeners. If you have stories or comments or ideas to share, please reach out. You can email us at dementiauntangled@bannerhealth.com or leave us a review on whichever platform you use to listen to us. Season 6 of Dementia Untangled is coming soon, so make sure to subscribe and get notifications for all the new episodes.
We have a great list of guests planned for you.
Thank you to our inspiring guests from season 5, to my co-host Janice Greeno and our producer, editor, Amber Ayers. And our biggest thanks to you, our listeners.
I'm looking forward to our next conversation on Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Dementia Untangled. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dementia Untangled is hosted by Heather Mulder and Janice Greeno, produced and edited by Amber Ayers, and is brought to you by Banner Alzheimer's Institute and Banner Sun Health Research Institute. We are supported by generous donations to the Banner Alzheimer's Foundation.
Please visit our website at banneralz.org and follow us on Facebook to learn about upcoming events. If you have questions or comments, please email us at dementiauntangled@bannerhealth.com.